Hey guys, welcome back to the Fellowship Greenville Students Podcast. This week we are starting a brand new series called My Story, where every single week we'll have a different guest speaker and they will be sharing their personal story of what Jesus has done in their lives and ultimately how their story weaves itself into the mega story, which is God's story. So first up this week, we have one of our very own volunteers, Christy Calliope, and she's going to be sharing her story, focusing on Joshua 4 and Mark 4, and really bringing us around this key word of surrender. So sit back, listen up, enjoy. We hope you guys are blessed, and we hope you enjoy this message.
All right. I am going to piggyback off of Matt's sermon last week. Who was here? Is it like a lot of you here? Yeah. So it was pretty powerful. It's kind of hard to follow Matt, period. But yeah, what I love the most, and this is exactly why I can stand up here in my fear, is that he talked about how the disciples had come from this place of passive to passionate living. And that's exactly what's happened to me, that like, I don't want to be up here talking to y'all, but I love Jesus so much that I want to tell you about him and what he's done in my life and what I know he can do in your life. He changes lives. It's just, he's so awesome. So, okay, yeah. So going back to the disciples that he was talking about last week, how they, I don't know if you guys remember, but they were like stuck in jail, right? And then what happened? So this angel comes out and breaks them out of jail. And so they can't deny God anymore. Like, they can't deny that Jesus is bigger than what they've been, like, allowing doubt to set in. You know, they, like what he said, like, they had seen him day in and day out doing all these miracles, but yet they still hadn't fully grasped who he was until even after the resurrection. I was sitting next to Tiffany, and she said that. She was like, can I say not beginning and not end of his life, but, like, after the resurrection? And that's exactly what happened to them. But this time, they're broken free out of jail, and where do they go? They go straight to teaching at the temple. And I'm sure the officials were like the officers coming in to get them were like, okay, what are we going to do? Because we can't hold them in jail, obviously, right? But so like Matt said, they beat them. And in that, they were able to rejoice, even in that suffering. And they didn't even like take a chance to like stop and heal. They just went straight back to teaching. And so what I think happened is, I love this idea of stones of remembrance. Has anybody ever heard that term? It's kind of, yeah. So it's mine then. No, it's not really. I'm going to show you where it's at in the Bible. But just that, I think what they did is they kept picking up stones of remembrance, stones of like, he did this miracle, he did this miracle, he did this miracle. And eventually, like, their confidence was so blown out of the park that they were like unstoppable with their faith. And so that's where we're going to go tonight. And what I want you to see is, in my story, just like the disciples, not their brokenness. I don't want you to see my brokenness. I want you to see God's faithfulness. I have a diary of his faithfulness, and you're just getting a glimpse of it. So my story starts with fear. Big surprise, anybody? So I've had a list of fears that start from like roller coasters. I'm not an adrenaline junkie, y'all. Like, I don't like speeds over 60 miles an hour. Jason reminded me of that this week. It is, or curvy mountain roads, which causes tension between our marriage. But so there's just all these like weird, just all these weird, the tunnels, bridges, they used to just set me off in this moment of like crazy irrational fears. But there's also fears closer to the heart, right? Like, fears of being abandoned, fears of being alone, fears of being laughed at, left out. And I don't know, anybody else have fears? Like, I need to feel like I'm not alone tonight. Yeah. So what I think is that, do you have it up there? No, you got it for me, though. So will you put it up there for them, this fear slide? Yeah. So for me, I'm not going to stand up here and tell you I've totally conquered it, but I will say that I just go, Jesus, like, I'm not going to stop flying and going seeing amazing places because I'm terrified of turbulence, but I just sit in it. And the way that I've gotten from this fear to his peace is through surrender. And was anybody in Charlie's message this morning? Because he talked about, like casting our cares on him, that when we don't do that, when we're sitting in anxiety, it's honestly like just a way of pride and saying, I want to control this problem. And God's just asking us to surrender it. So I think we get our template for this Stones of Remembrance from Joshua 4. So I'll have you put that slide up for me. Yeah, okay. I just read it. When all the people had crossed the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Now choose 12 men, one from each tribe. Tell them, take 12 stones from the very place where the priests are standing in the middle of the Jordan, carry them out and pile them at the place where you will camp tonight." So the next part, because it's a little bit down. So 19, the people crossed the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month. Then they camped at Gilgal, just east of Jericho. It was there at Gilgal that Joshua piled up these 12 stones taken from the Jordan River. And then Joshua said to the Israelites, I love this, "In the future, your children will ask, what do these stones mean? And then you can tell them, this is where the Israelites crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the river right before your eyes, and he kept it dry until you were across, just as he did at the Red Sea when he dried it up when we had all crossed over. He did this so all the nations of the earth might know that the Lord's hand is powerful, and so you might fear the Lord your God forever." And that is a righteous fear. What he said was like, I want you to take and remember all the places where you could have confidence in me, and I want you to just stop and say, victory here. Like, we made it to the promised land. And so I'm going to walk you through a few of my stones of remembrance. But so this memorial that they made, which I think is, like, you guys understand that, like, he opened up the waters again, just like he did for Moses, and they were walking across dry land to their promised land. So when I told Matt about that, he was like, that's like Karen's. And he's talking hiking language to me, which we totally love. But have you guys know about Karen's? Shake heads? No? Yes? Yeah. So you can go in a hiking. Are you laughing at me? You can go in, like, on your hiking trails, and you'll see these, like, they're much better than mine, but like there would be a Karen, it's called a Karen, and it would let you know that you're on the right path. And then if you get lost, you can come back to this. And so that's what I think we should be doing our whole life, is just finding these places of markers that we can go, I've seen you, I've seen you, I've seen you, so that when we have those moments of doubts, when we're in our valley, we can go, I can go back to where I've seen him. All right, so that's enough. I guess I should get to the vulnerable stuff. Let's start at the beginning. My parents, because that's pretty much how I got here. So my parents were married at 15 and 17. Yeah, I'm just going to let that sit in. 15. It was actually on my mom's 15th birthday, which is a little bit just crazy. Like, they had to sign. My grandma had to sign off on it. Anyway. And she wasn't pregnant, just in case anybody's wondering. But they had me at 18 and 20, so we pretty much grew up together. And my dad was in the Marines, and so he was on embassy duty for the first few years of, till I was in fifth grade. So we lived in Japan, Philippines, my sister was born in the Philippines, and India. And then in the fifth grade, we moved to this little military town called Cherry Point, North Carolina. And I started middle school, and middle school was mean. Like, I did not love middle school, Ben. Girls were picking on me, and I don't know what I was putting out there, but it was hard. And one time I remember, which actually made me think about why I have stage fright, is that, like, I remember we were getting ready for this, like, play, and this girl was behind me, and she was pulling my hair. Oh, so rude. And then there was this, I remember Wallace Teal, like, poor guy. I remembered his name this week. But I did, on our reunion, our class reunion, like 10-year reunion, I told him, I was like, you picked on me? And I just wanted to make him feel bad. But so Anyway, my family wasn't believers, and so we didn't go to church. And so we kind of, you know, when you're not a believer, you kind of have to handle those things on your own. You're not looking to a sovereign God. And so my dad said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to enroll the two of us in Taekwondo. So first of all, it's totally his fault I can't dance, but that I can kick a guy's ribs and break them, and I did when I was 12, but that's a different story. So, yep, I'm all about self-defense. Look at, all right. That's not about Jesus, but but I loved that time with my dad, and I totally loved that he was teaching me about self-defense, because I mean, I think that's a great thing, but we were not a family that was rooted in, like, seeing those things, like kids picking on us, as, like, a way to learn about, like, rejoicing in the suffering, or even, like, speaking into their lives. So we're going to start. I'm going to make my own Karen here for you guys. And this first, I need to find number one. This first stone of remembrance is about, and I want you guys to hear it for yourself, too, is that he knew me before I knew him. He fearfully and wonderfully created me. And he also, he knew exactly the family that I needed to be in to bring him glory one day. And that's the same for you. So, all right, now, end of middle school, as if that wasn't all that awesome, it gets worse. I met this girl, and I've always been drawn to people who are in need. Like, I just love helping people. And so there was a girl who I had made kind of friends with, and she came to school one day, guys, and she had a gun under her shirt, and she showed it to me and said that she was going to go kill herself. And so I immediately go into, like, I want to help her. I want to make sure that her life doesn't end. And so I went to the vice principal of the school, and I said, this is what's happening. And they went and they found that gun in her locker, and she was expelled for that year. But then, and you'd think that, like, I'd probably get, like, a thank you note. I don't know, like, thanks for not letting me kill myself. But that didn't happen. She decided that was going to be a good reason to hate me. And so in ninth grade, when she came back to school, she put a note in my locker, really hateful note. Now, you guys, what could you do? You could just do a quick text or Snapchat and be a lot meaner. But we just had notes, and we did not have cell phones, so my friend who I shared a locker with had called me when she got home and told me, and there was a chain of events that happened, but I never got to see that note. My parents intercepted it at the school that day, and I'll never know what it said because my mom was pretty terrified. But what I do know, this is pretty hard to hear, but, like, she had said in detail how she was going to have a specific person, a guy, rape and kill me. So she had it out for me. I mean, it was just, like, now her new mission in life. So that took on a whole new life for me in high school. Like, I did not have your typical high school, like, hey, let's go out to cook out after Sunday school. I mean, ours was Burger King, but. And I'm, like, getting ready for prom. I had to think, and my family had to think in the context of danger everywhere. And so it was just a rough ride in high school during that time. But what I do know is that you guys see me here, right? So her plan didn't work out. And that is where I pick up my second stone of remembrance, in that he has a plan for your life, and he is going to protect you. And I'm going to see if they will. Actually, I think I put them, like, here. So, all right. That was kind of the yucky part. But God did bring some pretty amazing girls into my life in high school who were going to church. And like Matt said, about just seeing something beautiful in a Jesus follower, like, just going, I want that. I want that peace that I see in Jana. I want that peace that I see in Georgia, Maddie. Like, I wanted that. And so I just started going to Bible study, and I was doing it without my family because they weren't believers. And I don't even know how I got to church because I was 15 at the time. But so then I just started doing Bible study, going to Sunday school, And at 16, I got baptized. My brother was born, so there's 16 years difference between us. And I started dating this man. And he came to, yeah, yes. So, but Jason, I get to tell part of his story, is that he was not a believer. In fact, he would pretty much call himself an agnostic for years to come. And at that time, I was pretty, let me make sure I'm on track. Yeah. So at that time, I was pretty new to the faith, and I just didn't have the grounding that I needed for a teenage romance. And that's why my girls hear me 1,000 times say what? I want you to fall in love with Jesus, not a boy. And I'm going to say it to all of you girls. And boys, I want you to fall in love with Jesus, not a girl. So first, because you need to get grounded. And so although, again, you're seeing, right? You see that it worked out. But I'm going to tell you, there are scars, and we had to walk some pretty, like, you can choose your sin, but you cannot choose your consequence. And we lived that. So I started, like, just like Eve in the garden, I started hearing those questions. Not, did he really say to eat from, you can't eat from this fruit, this tree? But I heard, did he really say that you have to believe in Jesus to go to heaven? And if he did say that, then Jason's not going to heaven. And if he's saying that, and you know Jason is this great, sweet guy who does everything right and just good morals, is God really good? And so I made the choice to not walk away from God, but I made the choice to live in my own sin because I was stuck in it. I had not, like what Charlie talked about today, I had not checked all the doors. And so, I mean, obviously God is a redeeming God, but I just think maybe he could have come sooner to Christ. I don't know. But God gives us second chances. So again, you've seen that we're still together. So my third stone of remembrance is that Satan does not have the last word, guys. God has a plan and that he is mighty to save. Okay. So now I'm stuck in this sin. I'm separated from God. And again, just like middle school to high school, it didn't get better before a little while. But we ended up moving in together and getting married in that order. And I even had some really godly girls telling me, like, this is not right. You don't need to be doing this. You're not walking the way that God wants you to walk. And I just refused to listen. And so we ended up, I was finding my identity in Jason and not as a daughter of the king. And so when we graduated NC State, I should have been going off to vet school or at least applying for it. I had a degree in animal science, but I was following my man to Florida for his job in aerospace engineering. And that place in Florida is really where God used all of my fears, anxieties, worries to just start to draw me in closer to him because it was at its height. I mean, I had panic attacks in airports with crowds. Like, this is like panic-inducing. And just driving over the bridges in Virginia when we lived there and driving through tunnels, just all those things were just sparking panic attacks. I couldn't even stand in line at a grocery store checkout without fear of, like, having to, I don't know, it was just this, like, am I going to have to talk to someone? And now my kids will tell you, they don't want to come with me to the grocery store because I will stand in line and talk to anybody, right? They're like, oh my gosh, you found someone else. So I was finding my identity in something else. But what I do know is that, I'm going to pick up 4, in spite of my sin, in spite of what we were doing, he never loved us less. And so he doesn't love you less in spite of your sin. And he will use your weaknesses to draw you back to him and then to use it for his glory, which is pretty awesome. All right, so now we get to a little bit of a happier place. I got my girlie, Georgia. And she pretty much was the catalyst for drawing me back to Christ because I wanted to be a pretty good mom. And at the beginning of her life, so she was born 7 weeks early, 4 pounds, 5 ounces, and I was going into liver failure. So we both were fighting for our lives. And I'm ashamed to say that, like, I never prayed during that time, but that my unbelieving husband did. And so again, God was using this to bring his son back. And so Georgia was about a year and a half, and I was at the gym. I loved, like, just being able to take her, and she could hang out with some kids, and I always found good friends there. So I met this girl that, again, I was drawn to. I was like, I want to be her friend. It's kind of like Lauren, honestly. So I was like, gosh, I just want to get to know her. And so Jen invited me to a parenting study, and I was like, sweet, like, yes. Like, this is right up my alley. I so want to be the best mom ever. Put a check in that box. And so I went to this parenting study. Y'all, she totally tricked me. I walked in. First of all, she was a pastor's wife. And it was a Bible study. And so I was like, oh my, what have I done? And I went home and I called my mom and I was like, I'm not going back. I can't believe I said I wasn't going back, y'all. Like, I'm standing up here on stage singing about Jesus. Well, I'm not singing, because that would be weird. But that's the next level. So here's where fear came in. I was totally terrified that I would suffer. I knew if I came back to Jesus, y'all, I don't hate the book of Job, but it's really hard to sit in. And I just knew that would immediately have a target on my back for spiritual warfare. And I didn't want it. I was like, right now I'm kind of, like, I wasn't on Satan's radar, I felt like. Like, we still had, and I don't know why I thought that, because I was still struggling with fear and anxiety and worry. But so I wrestled this out with Jen, and my second time coming, this girl Angel said, or Angie, she said, I don't know how people do it without Jesus. And I mean, like, God just broke something in me. And I was like, I don't want to do it without Jesus. Like, I'm still going to have these same struggles. But I want a guy like Jesus on my side. And so I still didn't know about the fear, and Jen walked me through it, and then, like, you know, you have all these questions. I'm like, I need all these questions answered, but at the end of the day, I didn't get them all answered, and it didn't matter. So I was standing in our driveway getting ready for a road trip, which always induces what? Fear. I was like, oh, Jason's going to be driving over 60 miles an hour, and he's going to be driving on these mountain roads, and I just thought, I'm done. I'm done running. And so I laid it down, and I was like, God, I want you back in my life. And if I have to face fears and I have to face worry and anxiety, I'm going to do it with you on my side. So I missed one. Well, that's all right. Oh, no, I didn't. There you go. So God does not give us a spirit of fear. So all of this fear is not from God. He gives us a spirit of power and love and of a sound mind. And his perfect love casts out all fear. Okay, we're going to have to figure out how this works. All right. So now here I am. I'm back in it. I'm like, I am all in. I love you, Jesus. Never letting you go. I have a strong foundation of girls breathing into my life and just really doing life with me. But now what happens? Now I'm spiritually mismatched with the man who I love more than anything. And so that's when, so it made me think about, like, how could you guys relate? And so we always pick on JJ, so I'm not going to pick on you tonight. Nope, it's not going to be JJ. So it made me think about, we're going to talk about girls since I'm a girl, but, like, if Maddie, if you if you were like in your like sweet core group of girls, and then Morgan, they didn't know you, and so Maddie like starts bringing Morgan in, and she invites her into this group, and they're all like, she's pretty great, but like she's taking Maddie's time, you know, and like Maddie's kind of just like hanging out more with Morgan, and but then you can't be mad at her because Morgan is so awesome, right? And you're like, gosh, but I think that's exactly what happened in my marriage, because Jason was like, she is hanging out with Jesus. Like, it was my new man. And I mean, it was a little hard. I think there was like this, he was losing his wife in some ways. I was still loving him, but he saw that there was this pull, and he couldn't really complain because it was great. And I was changing, but I also was a pain in his butt. So anyway, he actually put up with that, and he's just always been so good. So he would come with me to church every Sunday, and he would hear the Word of God. And what do we know happens when you hear the Word of God? Faith. Faith comes from hearing the Word of God, and a lot of prayers, like 3 years, you guys, of completely spiritually mismatched, and it caused tension, but we just sat in it, and that's what we have to do in our struggles. We got to sit in it and just trust God. And the other thing I'll tell you, and this was not something I planned on saying, but that I remember doubting, because he's so smart and so just, he was so smart that like he had had this like pull, like he was, I just didn't know if he'd come. I didn't know. And my friend Jen said, he is. He's going to come to faith. And so what I want you to know is that if you don't have the faith, you can borrow a friend's faith. Yeah. So Jason had been going with me, and he's not like a people pleaser. So if we're all doing something, this was something else I was going to say, but like in high school, we had these like fun spirit weeks, you know, and so we did these friendly fringies, and I don't know, you had to give someone a piece of your friendly fringie or something, but he refused to do it. And I thought it was kind of stinky, but anyway, so he's not a people pleaser, just to make my point. And we were, it was Palm Sunday, although again, my mind said it was April Fool's Day, which is kind of funny because it was April 1st. So I was like, this is like a big joke. But Jason walked up to get communion with me. Yeah. And I'm not one who like has a hard time talking when it's not on stage. And I took 3 days to ask Jason, like, what just happened? You don't just do this. And he just said, I get it. Like, I get it. I'm on board. Like he had accepted. He had come to this place on his own. And so this is where, what number am I on? 6. We're getting there, guys. This is where I want you to know that we have a jealous God, and that he will leave the 99 for you and you and you and you, and that we are all his favorite. Like, we are all John's, y'all. Like, seriously, like, John the disciple thought he was Jesus's beloved, but we are all his favorite. All right. So, this is gonna get harder. So I've been collecting these, and I needed to do that from 2007 when he came to know Christ to 2016, because I hit a storm that it rocked some things. And so before we get to that, though, I want to talk about how we conquer storms in our life, the template for that, how we overcome fear, anxiety, whatever your struggle is, how we get through that. And that is going to be in Mark 4, which God has put on my heart all week. Yeah, you got it. You guys are on it. All right, so what I first want to say is that when you're reading through a passage, you know, like we'll go to this particular passage, and you need context by looking at the passage before and the passage after. And so if you remember, the passage actually right before Jesus is calming this storm is what Matt talked about about the faith of a mustard seed. Remember how we all had like a little mustard seed in our hands and we're like, I can't lose this? Well, that's exactly, so he's just done this. He's just talked to the disciples about, I just need you to have a little bit of faith. And then he goes out. Now we're going to talk about the storm, but what I want you to know is the other side of that too. The other context is that on the other side of that lake where they were going, Jesus knew that he was going to restore the man Legion, who was plagued with all kinds of demons, and they were going to cast those out. He was going to cast those out. Okay, so, and I made you guys, this is an NLT because I liked the wording better. 35 through 41, I'm just going to read it from here. As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up, shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence, be still." Suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. And then he asked them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" The disciples were absolutely terrified. "Who is this man?" they asked each other. "Even the wind and waves obey him." So again, we see that like they still didn't get it, right? They were like, "Who is he?" But I just have to say that I think when he said, like, "Why are you afraid?" it was more like, "I'm going to flip a table." Like, right? Like, I don't know. I would be mad. I'm like, "You guys, you've seen this. And I'm trying to get some sleep. And I'm not good on no sleep." So that's how I envision it. Like, he was just fussy. But he probably had a lot more grace than me. He was fussy. Oh, just wanted to be like, "I'm trying to sleep. You know I've got a plan. Let me get some sleep. Just chill." Like, anyway. So, but what I love about this so much, y'all, and this is where I could get on my soapbox, and I'm going to get loud like Matt does maybe, but like, I want you to hear this. Hear me. You guys have been so good about listening to me, but hear this, if anything, that we have, if you have accepted Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. We have that same power that rose Jesus from the grave, conquered death, living inside of us. And I think we're supposed to act like Jesus did, right? He's our model for everything. So act like him in every single stinking storm. And what do? We say to our thoughts, we say to our fears, our anxiety, our doubt, our worry, "Silence, be still," like quiet, enough. My God is on the boat with me. Anybody? Like, my God is on the boat with me. I don't have to worry about that fear. I don't have to worry about that anxiety. I don't have to worry about that doubt. He told us in his word, "Take every thought captive. Think only on those things that are true and noble and pure." Hear it. And that's how we fight every single battle, every single storm. Be not afraid. So, that's the foundation for every single fight. So now I'm going to tell you about 2016. I was turning 40, which is a super fun age, guys. And my sister was 32, and my brother was 24. So we're all 8 years apart. And my brother had found himself in a deep, knee-deep addiction to Percocet, painkillers, Adderall, Ambien. I think he was like on 11 different things at one time. And it destroyed our family. My parents, so at the height of it, my brother had actually totaled his car. No one else was around, but he totaled his car, and he was in jail for a DUI. And my sister and I really wanted to get him help, because my sister's a believer as well, and we both were just like, Sin in isolation, like when you're in something, when it's isolated, oh, Satan loves that, right? Like he can keep, like again, what he was saying, like accuser, he's like going, oh, you can't get out of this. And my parents were so worried about the tarnishing of our name in the community. My dad has just a big business, and they were worried about my brother's name, just so they hid it, like it was a secret. And it ended up that my, yeah, it was probably better not to have it. My parents ended up turning their back on my sister and I to save this secret, to keep it. And they disowned us. Like, we got a letter saying, like, we're done. Yeah. So, but I knew what I knew, what I knew, what I knew, right? Like, I got the Holy Spirit. My sister's got the Holy Spirit. And what else? We are not fighting people. We're fighting Satan. Yeah. My parents are not bad people. They're broken people. And so we went to battle. We were on our faces. And honestly, like after thinking through it this week, I was like, it might have been the best year of my life. Like, why am I thinking about it as the worst year? Like, it had me on my face into complete dependence of God and knowing that I was in the storm with him. And I didn't know what was on the other side of that lake. I didn't know if restoration would come. If I didn't know if he'd cast out the demons in our family, but I did know that the story ended well. Like, in the end, God's will be done. So, this stone is in remembrance that he is our rock, our refuge, and our very present help in time of need. So as I had sat through that, realizing that I'm not alone, that restoration could come, and that I was going to trust in that, I never lost hope because I had God. Like, I was totally focused on him, keeping my eyes fixed on him. And what happened was restoration. We're at least making steps towards that. My brother is clean, and my parents have come back into our life, and what I want to say to you is that even if it's your parents, even if it's your best friend, you will fail the people you love, and the people you love will fail you. But it's that brokenness that brings us to know our need for Jesus, right? Like, what else do we want to know? Like, we need Jesus. And he is worthy of all our praise. So the last stone that we're going to put on, before I tell you a little story, you guys have hung in so great, is that we need to model Jesus' love and extend mercy and grace and forgiveness to those we love and to those we don't. Okay, so as I was preparing for this, you guys, like, my Karen's falling apart, man. There. Oh, yeah, that's it. So when I started preparing my story, I really felt like, I told a couple of the girls this, but last week, Saturday morning, I woke up at 3:30. Literally, God was like, because he had told me on like Wednesday or Thursday, and I started writing my story on Friday, but Saturday morning last week, God was like, wake up. I want you to know, calm the storm. And I was like, what? So I didn't want to wake up my man, so I was like looking at my phone in the dark, and I said, okay, well, is it calm the storm? Was that the one about Peter walking on water? Like, I get them all confused. I didn't grow up with it. And I'm still trying to keep it all straight. My mind isn't as good as it used to be. So I went to the scriptures and I found Mark 4, 35 through 41, and I absolutely loved it. And what I loved most is that I could kind of wrestle. I love to wrestle with God a little bit, like especially when he's waking me up out of my sleep. And I said, but it says be still, so can I go back to bed? And he wasn't real happy with that answer, but I did do it, so I'm sorry. And so, but I do know he's also a God of second chances. And at 9:30 that morning, and I came in to Girls' Day, which was so fun. And what did I find? But on every single seat in this room was Mark 4, 35 through 41. So what I'm going to tell you is that when you're listening for God, oh, he will show off so big. And so I was just like, okay, I get it. You want them to hear this. So he wants you to hear this. So sit in it for a week like I did, okay? And so then yesterday, Beth Guckenberg, which is Guckenberger, is how I'm going to end it, is the little thing, a little quote from her, start with amen. She talked about it at the end of our conference. And I saw it right before I left my house. And I was like, I get it. I'm going to tell them about calming the storm. So calm your storm. Tell your fears, anxieties, doubts, worry. Silence. Everybody try it. Let's try it. Silence. Do it. Silence. Yeah. Like, just get mad. Like, oh. So, all right. So I'm going to tell you, this is going to be fun. I think you guys will like this. Maybe. I did. Ah, bless it. Anyway, so Nathan, will you pull up the last slide? Or whoever, I don't know who's, Nathan's my buddy, so I'm picking at Nathan. It's the moon. I'll help you out. So this is a little story. Is it on there? Yay! Just so you know, I'm going to tell. I'm not telling things I shouldn't be telling, but I told Jason that because I had to get up here, that I want crescent moon earrings. Because I'm telling you this story, so, because I had to overcome my fears, man, yeah. But this is the other thing, just a little side note. Be nice to your men and just tell them what you want. Like, when you get married, because right now, fall in love with Jesus. Okay. So, yeah. All right. You guys just look at the slide and listen to me. Look up at the moon. Do you see it? See how you can only make out part of it, but your mind tells you there's more there? I think that's a picture for what the Lord wants to tell you tonight, each one of you. You can only see a part of this story, and so you worry. But your mind's eye is telling you there is more there, more coming, and it's going to be good. Have faith and listen for him. Do you believe in what he has next for you? Do you believe what he writes for you is good? That his stories for you are good? Then trust what you can only see in part, believing in who has the full story. Allow peace to permeate your very next steps. The coming story is good. There is more, and I'll bet inside you know it. So now live like it. So I loved that so much. So in ending, I want you guys to look under your seats because I worried after I saw you guys were in here for worship night where the middle schoolers were in here and those slap bracelets totally stressed me out. So I knew not to tell you about the rocks until after because I didn't know if you'd hate me and then throw them at me or I don't know. Like, yep, see, I see it now. Just like, you know, that would probably distract me. So that's why you're getting them now. But so this is a chance for the worship team. I'm going to be calling on you to go ahead and come up. I got like this mess here though. So I want you to take those rocks and I want you, first of all, to remember that I overcame fear tonight for y'all. So you guys can overcome things. Okay. But this is your stone of remembrance. And I want you guys to just hold it. I want you to close your eyes, like maybe we can dim the lights a little bit, and I just want you to take a minute and think about your own story
And think about how God has been faithful to you. And just thank him. Heavenly Father, oh, you are so big. God, we thank you so much that you sent your son to show off. We thank you so much that he leaves the 99 for us. We thank you so much that each one of us is your favorite. Oh, how you do it, I don't know. And if we, I don't know that we get anything done in life if we just sat in awe of you. And I just thank you so much for how you love us. I thank you that you've given us stones of remembrance in our lives to show us that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, that you've put us in the right families at the right time. Lord, that you have a plan and protection over our life. God, Satan does not have the last word, and you are mighty to save. That in spite of our sins, Lord, that you've met us where we are and that you love us no less. And you use our weaknesses to draw you in. God, I thank you so much that you do not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control and a sound mind. God, you are a jealous God. Thank you for leaving the 99 for me, for each person here, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for being our rock and our refuge and our very present help in time of need. May we rely on you more and on ourselves less. Lord, help us in our everyday to model the love that you've given us by seeking out to extend grace, mercy, and forgiveness. God, we love you. It's in your son's precious, precious, and holy name that we surrender all in our amen.